flight number 27. This is a picture of the big dogs here down the ramp at Two Line. And those large bars you see are steel revetments filled with concrete. They're just kind of a little. They're about 4 or 5 feet thick. And they're just low enough to provide shelter for aircraft that they moor down there. They've got a bunch of moorings in there. Tie downs in between all these revetments. There's a series of these revetments all along the ramps. They are kind of a nuisance, but very, very necessary to protect us from mortar attacks, protect our boats. These are very well built. These are probably the best revetments in Vietnam right now, and they were built by the Navy Seabees, who incidentally do some excellent construction work over here. Among the best I've seen in Vietnam. Whenever the Seabees do something, they do it very well, I must say. You might compare the Seabees to the Corps of Engineers in the Army. They're a similar unit, and they do all the major construction work that the Army and that the Navy and the Marines have done. Flight number 21. Well, this is another shot of the bird dogs in the revetments on Two Line. Flight number 29. This is a shot of the beach area at Two Line, and if you'll notice, this has kind of a yellow tint to it. I took this with a yellow filter. I was experimenting. The filter was supposed to give you a sharper contrast when you're taking a real bright picture with a lot of sand and water and sky. So I thought I'd try it just to see how it came out. It does make kind of an interesting contrast. And this road is the main artery of traffic up and down the base at Two Line. You can see a lot of traffic on it, as usual. Flight number 30. This is another picture taken out in the South China Sea area. This was heading up to Da Nang one day, and I saw this ship out there running around in circles, so I thought I'd try and get a picture of it. It looks pretty small. I guess I really needed a telephoto, like most all of my aerial pictures, but this was the best I had along, so I had to settle for it. Anyway, it's a fairly large ship. I think it's a destroyer, and it's out there patrolling the coast as always, up and down the coastline here. They have a number of these destroyers. They carry 6- and 8-inch guns, crossing 5-inch and 8-inch guns, and a lot of times they fire inland, and we direct their fire. In fact, George with the Rock Marines has controlled many of these ships on their firing on businesses. The Rock Marines use Navy artillery quite a bit. Flight number 31. This is taken up at Da Nang. This is the Da Nang beach area. And again, I was using the yellow filter. And as usual, it's clear as a bell and hard as hell, as you can see. Not many days like this, there's not a cloud in the sky along the coast. Now, if I turn the camera the other direction over the mountains, you'd probably see some thunderstorms building right there. This is a real nice beach area, one of the best in Vietnam, as a matter of fact, because even in the water, it doesn't drop out. You can walk out probably a block and a half out in the water and still not have it over your head. Real nice beach area. Flight number 32. This is another shot up at Da Nang, and this is looking north this time. The last slide was looking south. To the north, you have a kind of a little peninsula that juts out into the water, and on this peninsula is a mountain range. Now, those mountains there are about somewhere between, I think they're around 2,000 feet high. Very similar to the little coastal range of mountains down by Malibu in California. That's what I would compare them to. You can see some construction work being done over there, and if you really have good eyes, you can see a radar site up on top of the mountain. Anyway, in the foreground, you have the Marines out there enjoying a 3-day R&R. They have in-country R&R site for the Marines here at Da Nang, and they can take a break from the war for a couple, 3 days, and stay in beach cottages here right on the beach, and enjoy the sun and sand for a while. It's real nice, and sure glad to see him fix something like that up for these guys. Flight number 33. Another shot looking north up at Da Nang Beach. As you can see, it's pretty crowded, and any day it's sunny, which is almost always why we're gonna find a lot of people out there. The only thing that's missing, of course, is that very important digger called Gulf. There's none to be seen easily. Once in a while, you'll find a Red Cross worker that's got enough nerve to come out on the beach, but most of them, you know, it takes quite a bit of guts to come out there in front of all those Marines and let them stare at you for a day, and that's what they do. So I guess you can't really blame them, man. I stare too. Anyway, this is real nice. And back in there, they have some volleyball courts, and they've got a large building which provides sandwiches and cold beer and pack, and makes it real nice, especially for the R&R types. Flight number 34. Another shot, looking south again this time, and that little bump out there in the water is a little island. There are several islands like that all up and down the coast. Most of them are uninhabited. This particular one, I believe, is completely uninhabited. We do have a couple down here by Tulare, where we have some installations on them. The Navy has some lookout posts on them to try and help guard against little sampans and things slipping into the harbor to offload weapons at night. And they used to have some radar set up on these islands. Slide number 35. So this is still another shot looking south along the beach of Danae. And you can see in the background to the right there some of those clouds swarming over the mountains that I was telling you about. And if you look down the coast there, just about 50 miles is Tulare, where we are. Actually, I guess it's a little more than that. It's more like about 70 miles, I guess. Flight number 36. This is another shot of a fairly large Navy ship. It was cruising in along the coastal waters up by Danae. This is one of my many trips up to Danae with an airplane to get radios fixed or for maintenance. As I told you, we do most of our heavy maintenance and radio maintenance up at Danae, since we don't have the facilities for it here. And so I've run up to Danae many times on this type of trip. Sometimes it's for an hour or two, sometimes it's for a day or two. Flight number 37. This is a shot of a sunrise on the Pacific, actually it's the South China Sea, but we kind of consider it the Pacific Ocean too, I guess. I'm heading up to Danae when I took this picture, and that was an early get-up for me, of course, one of the many. And we were in a hurry to get this big fix to get it back down there in the afternoon for a strike, so that's why I was taking it so early up to Danae. I just happen to have my camera along. Many times I carry this little Minolta with me. It's very handy, very small. It's about 2 inches by 4 inches. So it's very tiny, and I can carry it in my pocket very handily, and I can whip it out to get pictures that just happen to come along like this. So that's why I've taken several of these Minolta pictures. It's just that it's very convenient to carry the camera with me, whereby I hate to lug around my other one all the time in the aircraft. Slide number 31. This is another shot, and of course you can see my rocket tubes there in the foreground, as you've seen many times in my aerial pictures. It's the way the wing strut and the rocket tubes are positioned, it's kind of difficult to get a picture out the window without including them in the shot. I don't know if they offer any particular aesthetic value or not. I don't really think so, but they're there nevertheless. Sorry about that. Slide number 39. This is another shot of the sunrise. I thought this one came out rather spectacularly, particularly those two lines of light out to the side. I can't really explain what caused those. I think maybe it was some type of an aberration or something in the lens of my camera itself that created those two lines. I didn't really notice them on the water when I took the picture, but I did think that this picture came out really spectacularly across the ocean like that. My next ambition is to get a moonshot very similar to it. We have the moon course coming up just like this over the water, and sometimes we have some little spectacular moon rises, but I never seem to have my camera along to catch them. But one of these days I'm going to catch them coming up. Well, this concludes my slideshow, and I hope you enjoyed it. I'll be sending some more slides and tapes from time to time. And Joe, I meant to mention here, I hope that you're saving the tapes that go around with these slides. I think it'll help refresh my memory later, and I might just want to decide to just keep these tapes to go around with these slides permanently. Especially 4 or 5 years later, I'm sure I'm going to have a little help from the tapes to remind me of just what all these pictures were. And I've written them down, and if you want to go ahead and catalog them, why, that's fine. Be my guest. So, anyway, I just thought I'd throw it in. I'm pretty sure you are saving them, but I just wanted to remind you. Well, I guess there really isn't much to add to what's going on in our area now. We're continuing our operation here to the west of Chulai, and with considerable results. For instance, yesterday, some of our paratroopers ran into a large base camp area, most of which had been deserted, and they had a very extensive training program there. They had large firing ranges. They had volleyball courts. They had great big dining halls. They had a large hospital area. They had all kinds of training rooms with pictures and things to show the guys how to shoot us down, for instance. And it was really quite extensive, and it's just amazing how they could have all that stuff and do all of that right under our noses. This is only about 12 miles west of here. And it was all in a fairly dense forest area. And from the air, you couldn't see a thing. You could fly over it day in and day out, and you'd never see it. It's very clever at camouflage, and anything that would show human activity, and they covered up with some form of camouflage. So the intelligence turned out to be pretty good on this particular area, because intelligence had said that this was a way station. And by that, they mean an area where the VC can come back to train, sort of rest for a while, get resupplied with equipment and food, and then go back out and join a unit somewhere. And it's been a fairly lucrative area for us, and Charlie's been real reluctant to give the area up, and that's why we've had so many skirmishes here in the last few days. We had General Westmoreland come in to visit the 101st Airborne here about 3 days ago. I just saw him walking up to an area to be briefed. Never got too close to him or anything, but he is a very impressive looking individual, and of course, is held in very high respect by all the 101st. As you know, he was the commander of the 101st Airborne Division, and he still holds the brigade pretty close to his heart, I guess, because they seem to be his favorite people over here, and he comes up to visit us quite often. I guess since I've been with us, he's already been to visit the 101st 2 or 3 times since I joined the unit. And, some other people, of course, are kind of jealous of us, and they say, well, we're all first to squirrel, and they're publicity hungry and everything. But I don't think it's for criticism, really. I think that he realizes that it's one of our best fighting units over here, and of course, he does have a personal attachment to it, that's all. We had a little excitement yesterday. I was out in the area working with one of my units and preparing to put in a strike. And all of a sudden I heard this call on the radio that a chopper had been shot down just about 4 or 5 miles to the west of my position. So I hurried over to the coordinates that they had given, and it turned out they weren't accurate. So I called in and gave them an accurate plot on where the chopper was shot down. And there were, I think, 5 or 6 guys in the chopper. And the chopper had sort of windmilled its way down into an area and had made a sort of a gentle crash landing. It had torn the tail up pretty bad, and the rotor broke off, but they were all safe. However, it didn't take the VC any time at all to start coming in on the chopper. It's a great moral victory for them to be able to get a chopper, and especially they know when it's loaded with any important equipment. In this case, it was a sort of a headquarters-type chopper, and it had a lot of important documents on board, especially a lot of our secret documents. So it was very important that we get these men and documents out of here as soon as we could. And they were already starting to draw fire from the surrounding area. as I was circling it, and we had some helicopter gunships. So I called them, and they used my FM as a homing device, and they homed on my transmissions. So they got over to the area, and one of the choppers flew right straight into all this gunfire, landed beside this downed chopper, and picked up these five or six guys. And they had two door gunners, and the door gunners were trying to suppress the ground fire while they loaded them on board and flew right out of there. It was a very daring maneuver, if I do say so, and I think they really deserve some kind of a medal or something for it, because it was a very brave thing to do, to go chugging right into the middle of all that ground fire to pick those guys out of there. He was successful, they got them all out, and for the most part, they escaped with the important documents. Shortly after that, we set the helicopter on fire and destroyed it before Charlie could get to it. So that was all, I guess you'd say, all in a day's work as far as we're concerned, but something a little different anyway. Well, I see I've managed to bring this tape up, so I'll call her to my narrative here. Once again, I'm certainly enjoying doing this, and I hope you all enjoy the Flight and Tape Show. Bye-bye, and we'll see you all later.